This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, Bloomington. Happy Friday to you, May 29th, 2015. Oh, yeah, I got to pull that button down in order to make it sound like I'm actually talking. Happy Friday, May 29th, 2015. Or if you're catching us Saturday morning on the 30th, it is the last weekend of May. Hard to believe, and it feels, I know a lot of people have felt a little bit off over the last few days because of Memorial Day was last Monday. So it was early in the month. The race was last weekend here on WGCL. So things were just a little bit off kilter from the normal Memorial Day weekend being also the weekend when school gets out for most of the local kids in the area. This Saturday is graduation for both Bloomington High School North, Bloomington High School South. North's is taking place at 9:30 Saturday morning. That's an early rise to get everybody set up and in their seats and all of that. And then South's graduation is at 2:30 on Saturday afternoon. And, of course, for many years they've been doing their commencements at Assembly Hall. But because of the renovations and everything there, can't really do that this year. So taking it to the home court, so to speak, for commencement for Bloomington High School North and South this weekend. Next weekend, June 6th, is the commencement out at Edgewood High School, the Mighty Mustangs. So, it's nice to see the kids in their caps and gowns, and you'll probably see a lot of people coming into town, grandparents, relatives from different parts of the state and different parts of the country coming in, because it is a big deal still for high school kids to graduate. And so congratulations to all of our young men and women who are headed out of high school and on to the real world. The real world is much different. I don't want to sound preachy, and I don't want to sound like a parent. I don't want to sound like the negative guy, but even when I was 18 years old when I graduated from high school and heard the real world is nothing like what you would expect, that's exactly what is true. It is nothing like what you expect. Just because you get a bottle of laundry detergent and a hamper and some hangers and you start doing your own laundry and everything, it doesn't mean you're a big boy. Even at my age of not quite 4-0, there are still times when I feel like I am 16, 17 years old and still a kid, and then there are times when I feel quite a bit older than my age because of some kickball injury or the fact that I went to my eye doctor this week and he said that I told him I was having a little bit of trouble with something at work, and he said, well, you're getting to that age where bifocals might be a necessity. And let's just be honest, that is not where I want to be in my life at the moment. I've got enough other things to worry about rather than bifocals and no-line glasses, and apparently contact lenses now come in some form of bifocal mode. I don't know. Anyway, that's not what you're here to tune into. You're here to listen to the Bloomington Review, and it's Jim Inman here with you. David Piller will be in the studio in just a few minutes. He's on his way in. Got a lot of stuff to talk to you about tonight. There's plenty of news to share and touch on. Got a little bit of pop culture stuff as well. Great things in the sports world. Of course, last weekend, as I mentioned, was the Indianapolis 500. And so we'll talk about, give you a little bit of recap for that. And thanks to everybody who tuned in to WGCL and listened to the show here on the station. We heard that, or I read this morning, that the 500 surpassed some viewing and listening opportunities that had not happened in several years. So it was nice to know that people tuned into the 500 here on the station. Lots of comments also on the 500, and again, this is in sports, but about our boys from Indiana University, Straight No Chaser, and their performance of Back Home Again in Indiana and taking the place of Jim Nabors, who has done it for 30-some years, it sounded like. So they did a whole new version of the song. They debuted it a few days ahead on video so people could listen and enjoy. So far, so good. Positive feedback for the original men of Straight No Chaser. Next week on the show, hopefully we'll have Julie Warren back in the studio. Julie is, of course, from Visit Bloomington, and we'll talk about some of the stuff that's going on around Bloomington and Monroe County during the summer months, because as great as it is that June is coming up next Monday, when Julie's on, we usually talk a couple months out, and that's going to put us really through Taste of Bloomington, 4th of July parade, and on to practically when school kicks back in session in August. So Julie's going to bring a lot of fun stuff for us. Next week is the plan. And hopefully we will have Mr. Cullen McCarty from Smithville Communications on at the end of the month talking about some technology opportunities coming to Bloomington, Indiana. I want to thank a sponsor of the show this week, The Taste of Bloomington. You can sample foods from over 40 Bloomington eateries, wineries, and breweries at The Taste of Bloomington on Saturday, June 20th. It's going to start at 3 o'clock in the afternoon at Showers Commons. You can enjoy music from Here Come the Mummies, Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band, and more. All of this at tasteofbloomington.com. Again, June 20th, 3 p.m., tasteofbloomington.com. Great event. Lots of fun. Make sure that you head out there in just a couple weeks. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. Check us out there. Like us, follow us, all that good stuff. And, of course, while you're there, also like WGCL Radio. All one word, nine characters, Facebook.com/WGCL Radio. You can also find WGCL on Twitter at WGCL Radio as well. And then, of course, WGCLradio.com. Of course, everything is right there. I started to say, of course, twice, and I caught myself, and I'm not going to edit it out since this is live. But WGCLradio.com, you can catch up on past shows, stream audio over there. Not only the Bloomington Review, Your Money with David Hayes, In the Zone, Joe Smith Reports, all of that, plus the Glass blog as well from Glass in the Morning. We're going to take a break. When we come back, let's give you your forecast for the weekend. It's another wet one. And then we will talk some local news on a variety of things. We got a little bit of, like I mentioned earlier, some pop culture stuff. Does Indiana need a state insect? Does it? I don't know. But we'll tell you what the potential state insect is for the Hoosier State and give you some ideas of some things to do around Bloomington and Monroe County during the summertime. We're going to take a break, come back. Mr. Piller hopefully will be in to give his weather forecast and much more. Stay with us here on WGCL. We'll be back here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman and now Mr. David Piller in the studio. And sir, you doing all right?
Hey, Jim. How are you, buddy?
I am good. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm wonderful. Wonderful.
Good.
School finished up great and all is well with the world.
So is your last day today or was your last day today?
Yesterday was the last day with kids. Today's the last day with adults. And if you recall, because Jim, you and I are friends on Facebook. In
yes.
addition to real life, we're some of those people that, you know, we're not just Facebook friends. We're actually real life friends.
Right.
Today is my favorite Facebook post of the year when I just congratulate everybody on a great year and then mention that one of my favorite activities to do on that first day of school when the kids are out is to go to Kroger and to go to Target and watch right about noon, 1 o'clock. And watch parents drag their kids around Target and
remember you talking about
your
this.
Turn for a little while. We appreciate all you do. So anyway, everything finished up really, really well. It's been a nice end to the school
Good.
Year, and overall, you know, I think MCCSC should be real proud of a really, really nice school year overall.
So. I'm going to ask you later, so you can think about it in advance. What happens in your school over the summertime terms of?
Man.
Just, you know, clean up and
glad updates. I'm going to get a head start. I appreciate you doing that. But, Jim, first, we got to hit weather.
Yes, absolutely.
Friday, it's been hot, been warm. But tonight, showers and thunderstorms, likely mostly cloudy, a low around 67. Saturday, for graduation, a lot of graduation parties, showers and thunderstorms, high near 78. Chance of precipitation, folks, 80%. So keep your eye on that. Saturday night, showers and thunderstorms likely. Cloudy with a low around 58. Chance of precipitation, again, up to 60%. And then Sunday, 50% chance of showers. Cloudy with a high near 67. Jim, is that right, 67?
I think that's right.
Well, I know it's right because it came from WGCLradio.com. All your weather all the time. Again, keep an eye on that radar. As you're making your graduation plans.
I need to double check myself over the break because now you got me wondering, did I type the right number?
No, it's you know what? It's right because I've heard Glass talking about that all week on the morning show that
okay.
it's that one cool day. Next week the rain chances are there but the temperatures heat back up.
So. Blackberry spring is the phrase that I heard last week and I don't remember if I mentioned it on the show when we had that cold snap come through that apparently they call it a blackberry spring because the cold helps the blackberry bushes grow and bud out berries. I don't know. I don't have a green thumb. Anyway,
I got nothing.
Talking about growth and all of that, bait corn, site security, signage, and consultation services all contributed to an expensive hunting trip that ended with no trophy for the city of Bloomington. According to the Herald Times, the Bloomington Parks and Rec Department on Tuesday presented the final tally of the canceled 2014 Griffey Lake Nature Preserve Deer Cull Program to the City Parks Board. It cost almost $3,600 to close the park, stock bait sites with corn, secure those sites, and use the services of White Buffalo Incorporated in evaluating a potential cull. No deer were killed. Parks Department Director Mick Renheisen said, quote, "Our job is to manage the land for the future populations of Bloomington. The challenges are not generally fun and they're not generally easy, but it's our job to manage the land and what's on it." Tuesday's invoice presentation was a delivery upon an initial agreement to provide a deer management services report within 30 days of the cull. It was delayed due to scheduling conflicts, and White Buffalo staff set up 7 bait sites at undisclosed locations because they had public safety and potential for success in mind. Renheisen told the HT that people interfered with the bait stations the last time, so this time they would not volunteer where the sites were. So the deer and the antelope are still playing
They're
in Monroe
still
County.
Playing. That's right. You know, someone that's not playing right now is Eve. Jim, did you see this?
I did.
Solid bronze statue, 300-pound solid bronze statue of Eve was stolen during the holiday weekend from Indiana University's Arboretum near 10th Street and Fee Lane. The sculpture depicting the Bible's first man and woman was a new addition to the Arboretum installed right before graduation. An Adam without an Eve is a sad thing, IU's curator of campus art Sherry Rouse said Wednesday. We're kind of in a bad place because we just don't have any clue where she is. So now we've just lost a valuable sculpture. The theft happened sometime after 5 p.m. Friday and was reported to campus police at 7 a.m. on Tuesday. Okay.
So the Memorial Day weekend. Yeah. Long weekend.
Rouse said it appears the thieves first tried to pull Eve from the ground at her base. When that failed, a power tool was then used to saw through one leg and the statue broke at the other ankle. University officials have since removed what remains of Eve as well as Adam from the Arboretum. Valued at $30,000, the sculpture was made by Anthony Droege, a retired professor of fine art at IU South Bend. Upon his retirement and a family move out west, Droege donated the piece to the Bloomington campus. As always, Jim, if anyone has any information or sees a 300-pound bronze statue of Eve
with
no ankles walking around town, Call the IU police, 812-855-4111.
It's not funny at all, but
no,
I'm more wondering if somebody has gone to a salvage yard or something like that with 300 pounds of metal. You know, I'm hoping that somebody there would be smart enough to say, well, where did you get the statue?
Well, you know, again, in this article as it continues, the theft of Eve was not the only act of destruction to the IU artwork over the weekend or this month. Two of the fish that are a part of the Birth of Venus sculpture at Shoalwater Fountain sustained damage. So that would leave Eve and two little fishes. So I would recommend that all loaves of bread watch out this weekend.
They need a little... Yes.
Could be bad.
They need a little bit of camera security on some of those things. There was the armed robbery out at People's State Bank earlier this week on the east side of town.
Used to live over
and
there.
Those the two suspects had some sort of crazy Milli Vanilli wigs on.
I saw that.
In the photos, as last I've heard, there's still no update on if anybody's been caught or not. But the photos, you can get, 400 megapixels whatever on your cell phone, but why don't the bank cameras and things have as high a resolution?
After those wigs, Jim, you know who the crime was blamed on, right?
Milli Vanilli?
The rain. So,
and that is your 80s/90s humor for the... On that note, I'm going to take a break because we've got more news to talk about, and I just need to contemplate that blame it on the rain. We'll be back in a couple minutes here on the Bloomington Review. During the break, Mr. Piller and I decided that might have been the greatest line ever run, spoken on the Bloomington Review on WGCL.
I didn't. You decided it because it would be pretty egotistical of me to claim my own line is pretty great.
I think it is. I think we hit our highlight, right?
That's good feedback from my good friends the Willises on my Kardashian knowledge last weekend, so... Hopefully they're listening again this weekend for more of this greatness.
But, and they may not know the Milli Vanilli reference there.
They're expert music people, so they're They're on it.
Okay. What else have we got over there, Mr. Pillar?
You know what? Todd Young, U.S. Representative Todd Young, has introduced federal legislation intended to help distilleries both to get up off the ground and to grow. Young, a Republican who represents Indiana's 9th Congressional District, and Representative John Yarmuth, a Democrat from Kentucky, are pushing a bill that would reduce the excise tax on distilled spirits. All around southern Indiana, many new craft distilleries are popping up, creating jobs and adding to the tax base, Young said in a prepared statement. But there's a lot of red tape involved in getting a new distillery off the ground, and this bill helps reduce that burden. In addition, we have many large established distilleries in our region of the country, and this bill will help them too. According to the Distilled Spirits Council and the American Craft Spirits Association, more than half the purchase price of a bottle of spirits goes to pay taxes and fees, making it one of the most heavily taxed products in the country. The current federal tax rate on distilled spirits is $13.50 per proof gallon. Young and Yarmuth's proposed legislation would reduce that to $2.70 per proof gallon on the first 100,000 gallons and $9 per proof gallon after that volume.
There is a little fire station, 105 South Rogers Street. It's right across from the old Soups On restaurant, personal favorite place. Well, there's a couple different competing futures for the city's old station number 2. Bloomington Metropolitan Firefighters Local Union 586. Their president, Bob Levesek, wants to turn it into a museum honoring the history of Bloomington's firefighters. However, Mayor Mark Kruzan sees the old station as a place to serve the arts, provide another quality of life amenity, and promote more foot traffic to destination attractions downtown. The old firehouse will become part of BEAD, Bloomington Entertainment and Arts District, in a transaction modeled after the way the John Waldron Arts Center was repurposed, according to Mayor Kruzan and the Herald Times. The building will house an arts programming organization and feature a creative space Kruzan hopes will be inviting to the public. The mayor did not specifically name which Bloomington area not-for-profit arts organization is going to be filling the space. Kruzan said he needs to finalize the details, seek approval from the city council before making a formal announcement in the next few weeks. However, the Fire Union 586, they've been trying to convert the city's old fire bays and stations into historic ventures since Levesek came to Bloomington from Indianapolis about 14 years ago. He said that the house is probably the last standing firehouse that could ever be a museum, and it's in a good location because it's right in the middle of town. Ivy Tech Community College acquired the Waldron from the city back in May 2010 after the Arts Center floundered under its previous management, the Bloomington Area Arts Council. It'd be nice to have a little fire museum for Bloomington, Monroe County.
Very cool. Jim Fire destroyed 5 vehicles the other day at Go Express, at the Go Express facility. Early morning at the Go Express Travel destroyed several buses of the Bloomington-based shuttle company on Wednesday, but service was not interrupted, according to a company official. The Go Express Travel Company owns 65 vehicles and employs 145 drivers, according to a news release. The company provides shuttle service to the Indianapolis Airport, downtown Indianapolis, and Bloomington. 5 buses caught fire as they were parked side-by-side at Go Express Travel in the 3200 block of Venture Boulevard. The Bloomington Township Fire Department responded to the blaze when a neighbor reported hearing a boom around 12:10 a.m. Luckily, no one was hurt. That's the most important thing. But it was believed that it began from an electrical short inside one of the company's 24-passenger shuttle buses. It then spread to 4 other shuttle buses before the firefighters were able to extinguish the blaze. Of the 5 buses involved in the fire, 4 were destroyed completely and 1 was deemed salvageable. Again, Jim, most important thing, no injuries sustained and the damage was limited to the vehicle. So
I talked to a friend of mine, a local police officer, and he was on the scene that night, and he said the heat off of those
things. I can't imagine.
Things,
yeah. Well, they probably have larger fuel tanks and stuff,
right.
So probably burn hot.
Mentioned in the opening about Cullen McCarty from Smithville and Blue Marble Communications, hopefully being on the show in a couple of weeks. Smithville Fiber announced on Thursday a formal service to the residents of Blue Ridge Estates on the northeast side of town. It's a gigabit fiber service. Well, what does this mean? It's the first such residential deployment of gigabit speed service in Bloomington, and it's made possible because of a formal partnership between the Neighborhood Association of Blue Ridge and between Smithville Communications. The service is also offered in Jasper and Danville, Indiana. Gigabit speed, in layman's terms, and again, I can program a VCR, but beyond that, I kind of lose my talents. It's about 1,000 megabytes per second, uploading or downloading, which is faster than traditionally offered through cable internet speeds of 20 megabytes for downloading or 2 to 3 megabytes for uploading. So this sort of speed and bandwidth reliability is highly desired for consumers who use a lot of internet-based electronics as home, if they are streaming video, things like that. The announcement was made at the Bloomington Visitor Center, where Smithville employees could be seen across North Walnut Street working on the neighborhood. Smithville needed about 56 of Blue Ridge's 225 homeowners to pre-register for the service before the fiber engineering and construction could commence. Hopefully, service will be available in as little as a month, according to Dave Broden, Smithville's chief technology officer. And all homes within Blue Ridge that signed up should receive 1 gigabit per second capacity service by October. Now, if only we could travel like the Jetsons or Star Trek and just, you know, beam me up, Scotty, kind of thing.
Right, right. One last one for you, Jim. When Ivy Tech Community College, Bloomington, moved from its Westbury location in 2002, the new building along Daniels Way seemed enormous. At that time, we thought it would be big enough to take care of us for a long time, said Doug Maddock, Executive Director of Facilities. The college's new 145,000-square-foot building would have no problem accommodating the 2,600 students who are taking classes in 4 lease structures along West Arlington Road, but no one expected the number of students to nearly double in 5 years. Today, Jim, Ivy Tech Bloomington's enrollment is about 6,500 students, and it has been forced to lease spaces at Liberty Crossing and along Liberty Drive. By next year, though, it won't need those spaces along Liberty Drive. That's because a 90,000-square-foot expansion of the Connie and Steve Ferguson Academic Building is scheduled to be ready for classes by January 2016. When completed, the new space, which is being called the Pavilion, will include a 400-seat lecture hall, an advanced manufacturing lab with a mock construction line, a soundproof music room, and an art studio with windows overlooking the pond to the north of the property. That section on the east side of the pavilion is a little behind schedule as a result, but overall the project is about 65% complete, Maddox said. Some of it is even expected to be open to students before the end of the year. Maddox said he's pushing to have the new Alcott Library open when students come back from Thanksgiving break. The new library will include group and private study rooms, something students who were surveyed in advance of the project said they wanted. So it's really, really great. You know, you catch either Chancellor Jenny Vaughn or one of the other
folks. Looking, Sam Weiss was on with Glass this week.
Which day? Thursday morning, I think, it was on there. Mm-hmm. So go back and check that out. But it's great to catch Jenny Vaughn on Thursday mornings, generally with Glass in the morning, for all of the updates about what's happening at Ivy Tech. But this is a great development for the community and for the education community and all those things like that.
Glass made a good point on the show, and then we'll take a break, when he was talking with Sam on Thursday, that there had been some discussion on state-level news about Ivy Tech and some numbers dropping and just different things and not seeing the growth overall for the educational program that Ivy Tech Community College is. But Bloomington, its campus is thriving.
It's the exception to that rule.
And they've got so many opportunities both on campus and online and whatnot. It's a great place. Can't say much more about it. We're going to take a break. We'll find out what is potentially going to be Indiana's new insect, our state insect. Also get a little bit of update from Mr. Pillar about what happens to the schools during the summertime, because I know that there's a little bit of cleanup, I'm sure, after 180 days of kids roughing around and everything. So we'll talk about that, and then much more in sports as well. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review, Jim Inman and David Pillar, who is getting ready. How much time do you get off for the summertime, Mr. P?
I think 27 days. My contractual obligation is ballpark 2 weeks after school's out and then 3 weeks before school starts.
And you're not the high school principals. They go all summer long, correct?
Just about. Yeah, they are.
Get a little break.
Yes, very much so. Yeah.
Well, so what's going? What happens in a school between closing day and opening day in August, so to speak?
You know, we have wonderful, wonderful custodians, outstanding custodial staff. They really hit it hard. And so with a shorter summer, they have less time. And so they have to get in. And one of the biggest things I think that they do is clean carpets. That's probably the most time-consuming thing.
Are the classrooms carpeted?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Except for the science labs and the home ec, facts, food lab, things like that. Mm-hmm. Just about everything else is carpeted. So everything's got to come out. All the carpets are shampooed, deep cleaned, all that stuff. And then a little bit of painting on the walls, you know, with chairs rubbing up against walls and things like that. That's done. And those are the two biggies as far as what's happened in the classrooms. Then in the hallways, of course, they're polishing the floors in the hallways. Nice floors in most of our buildings that are polished and taken care of and all that. And then after that, it's a lot of exterior work. Some of the bigger projects, you know, I know they did a lot of work over at Benford with the parking lot not too long ago, and some other buildings are looking at some new roofs this summer in Arlington, and they're adding a kind of a classroom class space that they're building onto the building. It's an older building. So those are some of those big things. We're hosting a big conference, the Bloomington Learning Summit. The BloomingtonLearningSummit.com, I think, is the website for that. And so it's available if there's any listeners that work in other school corporations. You know, there's a fee involved with it, but several nationally renowned authors and educators will come in Jackson Creek 9th, 10th, and 11th that the MCCSE host, but we host them at our building, and we'll have 200, 225 educators from not only MCCSE, but again, around the state and around the area, depending on who the speakers are, to come in for that. So we host that, and then we host other things with bus drivers and secretaries and custodians later in the year. We've got a nice building and some nice space to be able to do those things.
Are these things happening during the school year or during summer?
During the summer, yeah.
Does the food staff come in for things like that as well?
It depends. Sometimes, like for these larger events, what we did last year was really successful. Is they did food trucks, and they just brought food trucks out in the front, and that went real well.
Okay. There, you said something a little bit ago that made me think of another question, and of course now I'm spacing it, and I can't remember. You talked about cleaning the carpets, and do custodians handle the groundskeeping as well, or is that an admin?
A lot of the lawn mowing services are contracted out by the corporation, but as far as like things like painting blue lines and fire lines and yellow lines and things like that are on our drives and such. They'll do that. They'll repaint the parking lots. We don't have our lots repaved or anything like that, but they'll do those sorts of things. But as far as gardening, plants and trimming shrubs and things like that, yeah, our custodians take care of all that stuff. And so truly a phenomenal group of people. I'm just really lucky to have them.
Good. Well, I found this. This was just some random little story from the Indianapolis Star. Northern Indiana lawmaker says she's going to sponsor a bill next session that's going to hopefully make the state's official insect. Any thoughts what it could be?
Well, the official insect of the state of Indiana. I don't know. I don't know.
The firefly.
Okay.
WLFI-TV reports Democratic State Representative Sheila Klinker, who is from Lafayette, told second graders at West Lafayette Elementary School this week that she's going to back the bill. The kids at Cumberland Elementary have been working with the Purdue entomology professor Tom Turpin to lobby for a bill calling for Indiana to adopt the firefly as its state insect. Students at the school have already submitted 670-plus letters that are going to be delivered to the Indiana State House in the fall. The class has also reached out to Lafayette State Senator Ron Alting, who's taking the idea under consideration. Nice to see the kids getting a little involved in local government.
Yes, and the firefly, there are worse choices than that one, so I'm totally fine with that.
You being from Ohio, is that what it was called when you were a kid, or was it a
lightning bug? Oh, lightning bugs.
Okay,
yeah.
I didn't know. Much like the game Euchre, it's a Midwestern thing, and I wasn't sure if lightning bug or the firefly was appropriate for the Ohio Valley.
Lightning bug, brother.
Okay. We're going to take a break. When we come back, let's get into some sports. There's plenty to talk about. Not only do we have Reds coverage here on the station, but earlier today, IU Hoosiers are playing in a tournament. So we'll give you some updates on that. We had a couple of stories as well out of IU basketball and football as well, and just more to talk about as well. So stay with us. We'll be back here on the Bloomington Review. Floor is yours, Mr. Piller, wherever you would like to start,
Jim,
on the sports.
There's always so much
coverage.
Pressure when you do this to me.
Hey, you know what? I've come up with the agenda. It's all you at this point.
It is a golden agenda. Let's go backwards and let's move to the present.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. Let's do this instead.
you're just killing time. It's
my
all good.
My beautiful wife. One of the things that she hates is when she has to wait to open a present. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to make our listeners wait as well. I don't want to be the spoiler because I've heard from so many people that our IU baseball team played this afternoon at 3 o'clock. And I've heard, I can't tell you from how many people I've heard that don't tell us what happened. We're recording the game. We don't want to. Mm-hmm. So I'll tell you what. No spoiler. We'll see how IU baseball did this afternoon. They played at 3 o'clock. They played against Radford. Jim, you ever been to Virginia Tech University in Blacksburg, Virginia?
Never been through the Radford's, great state of Virginia.
Yeah, Radford's about 15 or 20 miles outside of Blacksburg. So, but again, IU baseball in the Vanderbilt regional down at Hawkins Field in Nashville. If the Hoosiers won this afternoon, they'll play Saturday evening at 8 against the winner of the Vanderbilt-Lipscomb game. If they lost, it will play an elimination game versus the loser. Remember, this is a kind of a double elimination four-team. You just play until there's one team left that hasn't lost two games. Everyone, as soon as you lose two games, you're out. So no spoilers here on the Bloomington Review because we don't like to spoil things for our favorite listeners. Now let's go backwards. Hey, a 99th running of the Indianapolis 500 last weekend. You heard it here on WGCL Radio, and it was outstanding. Kelly and I were out. She's with us here in the studio. She didn't want to talk to us right now, but we were out. I don't even know what we were doing, just kind of running around on Sunday. And I'll tell you, we listened to the race probably on two or three separate occasions. Every time we got back in the car, the race was on, and Paul Page in that whole network that they do in the race coverage is pretty amazing. It's just so much more fun to listen to it on the radio than it is to watch it on TV. I don't have the patience for the TV, but the radio coverage was outstanding.
There was some news right before because of the number of accidents that took place in all of the training and practice runs and everything, that this could be a very dangerous Indianapolis 500 this year. But fortunately, I mean, there were a few accidents during
the race, happened during the time trials and the qualifications. But our good friend Jeff Henderson, principal over at Bloomington North, he's been going to the race for over 30 years with his family and their tickets, and it's been passed down, and he's the youngest family member, so he's in charge of the tickets now. It's kind of neat how that works out. And he said it was an excellent race to watch. It was a well-run race, and I'm not a car racing expert, so I'll just take his word for it. Also, this past weekend, another really wonderful event for the area, the Senior PGA in French Lick at the Pete Dye Course. You're not allowed to have your camera out. You're not allowed to have your phone on.
Really?
Really, really strict rules that you'll be ejected if you're seen with your phone out. You know, if the phone rings when a golfer is getting ready to take a shot, that can cost someone tens of thousands of dollars, if not more. So very, very strict. So It was interesting that you didn't see Facebook and social media buried with pictures on something like that like you normally would. But from all indications, it was a beautiful, beautiful weekend. Colin Montgomery, who actually came into town a month, 6 weeks ago or whatever, to do some promotional work for the event, was the winner, won $500,000. For a weekend of golf, Jim. We're in the wrong business. When we're done, we ought to go hit over the range and hit some balls.
Do they have on one of the holes the windmill and the clown's
the clown? Yeah, I think so. I think that's number four with the clown's mouth. I'm not sure, but I've never played the Pete Dye course. I've just played the Ellisville putt-putt course.
It would
course
be kind of nice to
Mexican
see that
restaurant is
a ranked course like that down in
great.
The French Lick.
I don't think they have a sense of humor like we do.
Probably
but
not.
Anyway, again, just cheers to the folks down in French Lick. Did, by all indications, a wonderful job, and hopefully they'll be in the running to get this event or another event back in the future, because everyone just had rave reviews that we were able to talk to. Reds are on the radio, Jim, tonight after our show, 7:10. Stay tuned. Marty Brenneman will have your Cincinnati Reds hosting the Washington Nationals. They'll be on again tomorrow, 4:10 in the afternoon, and then we'll catch back up with the Reds Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday next week. They'll be on 7:05 Tuesday through Friday, and then 4:10 again next Saturday. So catch them after the Bloomington Review yet again. But anyway, very, very cool, very, very neat day for the 500 and for the golf tournament. But the Reds, not as strong. Not as strong. They've really been scuffling here lately.
And how are your Cubbies holding up?
Cubs are still in second place, Jim. We're very excited about the Cubs. They lost 2 out of 3 of the Nationals, but the Nationals are one of the best teams in baseball. So if we've got to lose, at least we're losing to good teams. A couple other things for you. IU had another kind of brush with the local law enforcement. IU sophomore receiver Isaac Griffith was arrested last weekend by IU police, preliminary charges of illegal consumption, operating a vehicle while intoxicated with a blood alcohol content of 0.08 and endangerment. Griffith, who was 20, was booked into Monroe County Jail 5 a.m. Saturday morning and released at 10 a.m. Bond set for $500 cash. And so an Indiana spokesman said Saturday afternoon that the football program is aware of the arrest and is currently gathering more facts. So if you know that name, Isaac Griffith was nearly drowned on spring break last year in Sarasota, if you remember that. Riptide pulled him too far from the shore. Some IU football players were there along with him and were able to pull him out. He was in a coma for a little while, and he came back and appeared in a few games, Indiana State, Ohio State. Hopefully things will work out, and we'll see where his football future goes next.
It's a little unfortunate when somebody's given a second chance like that. People, they're kids. Got to remember.
Yeah, you know, there's this invincibility thing, and we've all had it. We've all been there, and sometimes we're all still there. But hopefully some good decisions and a happy ending will come out of that one. Here's good news. One of my favorites, Reggie Wayne, is going to be given a key to the city of Indianapolis. Indiana Black Expo announced Tuesday that Indianapolis Mayor Greg Ballard will present Wayne with the key during Indiana University's Pacers Sports and Entertainment Luncheon on July 17th. The Colts parted ways with Wayne in March, making him an unrestricted free agent. He is considered one of the greatest receivers in franchise history. The 36-year-old from New Orleans played for the Colts for 14 years since he was drafted during the first round in 2001. Mayor Ballard said Wayne deserves the honor because he has given back to the Indianapolis community, and the mayor calls Wayne an absolute role model. So very cool, and Reggie has not signed up with anyone else yet, so he's still out there. Hopefully he lands on his feet. Yep. We have a couple other things if you've got time, Jim.
Go right ahead.
Sectional baseball tonight over at Bloomington North. I believe Bloomington South plays Columbus East in the first game, and I believe it's East Central and North in the second game. So all that action is taking place over at North Fields. Boys track regional last night. So lots going on still in the high school beat. Softball is still going. Golf is still going. Our good friend Brian Muehlhaus, friend of the show.
Yep.
He's got his golfing Cougs out there. Ian Bailey has done real well in a couple tournaments. So we hope the Cougs, and then a wonderful team over at Bloomington South, Dustin Carver coaches those guys. Hopefully they'll get to move pretty deep in the state tournament this year. And then a feel-good, Jim. Edgewood Unified Track and Field Team. This Unified Track and Field Team includes students with developmental disabilities and student partners who don't. So it's kind of we have a Best Buddies program that's a national program that's pretty popular at South, and we've got one at Jackson Creek. But Edgewood's team competed in their first meet last week in Muncie, finishing third out of five teams, and they competed in their second and last regular season meet May 20th in Columbus, and that meet was not scored. Unified Sports are dedicated to promoting social inclusion through shared sports training and competition experiences by joining people with and without intellectual disabilities on the same team. It was inspired by a simple principle: training together and playing together is a quick path to friendship and understanding. So Edgewood has one of 57 teams in the state, and they're the most active team in the area. So
are they really?
Congratulations. I think, if I'm not mistaken, based on Joe Smith's done a couple really, really great interviews this week on the Joe Smith Talk Sports, and I think Jeff Carmichael might be involved in this pretty heavily, and Jeff's got a great reputation for local sports, so glad to hear that.
I have friends over in Ellettsville that I've seen pictures up on Facebook of some of the races, and, you know, seeing those kids in wheelchairs or if they've got some walking disabilities and using crutches or things like that, they're still on the track.
Yeah.
They're doing some good things, so
it's
very
a great
glad
opportunity.
To
glad
see
to hear
that.
It.
We're going to wrap up here in just a couple minutes. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman and David Piller here with you. Just a couple minutes left in the show. As I mentioned earlier, next week, Julie Warren, the Director of Tourism from Visit Bloomington, should be in the studio with us to give us an update of what's going on around Bloomington and Monroe County as summertime is pretty much officially started now that the kids are out of school. So Julie will be back in the studio next week. We're hoping to get somebody in a couple weeks about Taste of Bloomington. If you've never been to that, we'll give you an experience of what it's all about and everything. And then later in the month, from Smithville Communications, Cullen McCarty should be in the studio. Mr. Piller, the forecast for the weekend again, sir.
Friday night, if you're with us, showers and thunderstorms, likely mostly cloudy with a low around 67. Saturday, showers and thunderstorms again, high near 78. That chance of precipitation is 80%. Saturday night, showers and thunderstorms, likely cloudy with a low around 58. Chance of precipitation again, 60%. And then Sunday, 50% chance of showers, cloudy with a high near 67. Light chance of rain early next week, but temperatures go back up. Best way to stay tuned to all of this is WGCL Radio for all your weather. all the time.
Julie Warren, our friend who we just mentioned from Visit Bloomington, always sends out.
We love Julie Warren. We do.
And I'm hoping she brings some pink fizzy snazzy lemonade like her daughter made for Lemonade Day a couple weeks ago.
Award winning.
But they send out the Friday schedule every weekend of things that are coming up over the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. This weekend, it's the Bloomington Clips Beer and Film Tour. It starts tonight at 7:30 at Bryan Park. It's free. You got to be 21 and older because it is Clips Beer and Film. But it's a nonprofit show. They bring it to about 20 different cities across the country. They bring a variety of beers that you can enjoy. They bring some films. So just a unique experience. So head out to the Clips Beer and Film Tour Friday night starting at 7:30 out at Bryan Park.
Also Friday night, Jim, we've got from 5 o'clock to 7:30, the Building a Nation Indiana Limestone Photograph Exhibit is opening. This is at the Wiley House Museum. That's on the corner of what, Jim, Lincoln and First, if I'm not mistaken?
Sounds right, yes.
Wiley House Museum Education Barn. This is free, and the exhibit features historical photographs of Indiana limestone quarries, mills, and building sites. The stone was quarried and milled in Monroe and Lawrence counties, but used throughout the nation as a premier building stone. So photographs managed by the Indiana Geological Society are on display the entire month of June, but the opening is Friday, 5 to 7:30. It's free. That's our Jim, Bloomington Review, that's our favorite price for things.
It is, absolutely. Right. When you were a kid, did you have a superhero skill that you wanted? Did you want to be able to fly?
Yeah, I definitely fly.
Flying was my
thing.
And
as a matter of fact, I went down the sliding board in my back backyard. We had a swing set with a sliding board that goes along with it. Kelly calls it a slide. I call it a sliding board because I'm from Ohio. Down the slide, pretended I was Superman, ran straight through the glass storm door on the back of the house, and I've got a big scar on my hand from stitches. Jim can see it here in real life, but not in radio world. You can't see it, but I'd say it's probably a good 2-inch, maybe 3-inch scar, and this is old school, probably from the early, mid-80s. So
Don't lie, you were 26.
Those are different scars, Jim. That's an entirely different set of injuries. this one is my superhero scar.
Well, Wonder Lab on Saturday, 11 o'clock in the morning and 1 in the afternoon, the superhero science show, talking about the science behind the amazing powers of favorite superheroes and villains, $2 ticket price plus museum admission. And then real quick, because we've got just about a minute, Mr. Pillar, Sunday there's a American Sniper preview going on downtown.
Buskirk, $5. So all that money is going to charitable causes. But the screening, doors open at 4:30 at the Buskirk, and screening is from 5 to 8 o'clock. $5, again, will get you in the door for that one.
The Chris Kyle story, if you haven't seen it, you need to go.
Yeah, good movie.
Yep, absolutely. So hopefully Miss Julie Warren will be in the studio of the Bloomington Lady next week. And hopefully you'll be back too now.
Man, this is two in a row. Like, I'm on a streak. The Reds have not had two in a row lately. No offense to our Reds listeners. Stay tuned. They're on next. But two in a row, Jim. Maybe I can get three in here. This would be great.
And if you're catching us Saturday morning, David Hayes and Doug Hughes, Your Money with David Hayes, talking about retirement planning in your 60s. Important topic to discuss. If you haven't talked about it, now is the time. Have a great weekend. Pillars, you enjoy your time.
We will. Happy birthday to my main man, Marcus Darbrough, celebrating this weekend.
All right. We'll talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.